advancing innovative research, academic excellence, and family-centered care to transform outcomes for children around the world. Children's Mercy Kansas City presents the audio interview series, Transformational Pediatrics, with host Dr. Michael Smith.
Welcome to Transformational Pediatrics. I'm Dr. Michael Smith, and our topic is movement and spasticity disorders, a unified approach to treatment. My guest is Dr. Brian Albers. Dr. Albers is a child neurologist specializing in movement disorders and deep brain stimulation. Dr. Albers completed a residency in child neurology at the University of Texas Medical School at Houston, where he also completed a fellowship in movement disorders. Dr. Albers, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So what are the common movement and spasticity disorders that you treat at Children's Mercy?
So we see a lot of children with movement disorders, primarily spasticity, which we see when we think about a child with cerebral palsy. But there's been a growing interest in this idea of dystonia, which is a little bit different than spasticity. In addition to other types of movement disorders associated with other more sophisticated circuitry in the brain, including chorea, tics, Parkinson's syndrome, just to name a few, where children are affected just as much as we think about these movement disorders in adults.
Well, so are most of the cases that you see in children from cerebral palsy, or are you also seeing some of the genetic cases, traumatic cases? Where is most of these movement disorders coming from? What's the cause in most cases?
Yeah, that's a great question. The pediatric neurology, based on the advances in neuroimaging and based on genetics, we're realizing now that a lot of these cases that we've been calling cerebral palsy for the last 20 years, most of them probably have some sort of genetic or metabolic etiology. And we quote, the incidences of cerebral palsy haven't changed since the 70s, despite all the interventions we've made. And some people have argued it's because we're doing much better with NICU care and children are surviving at younger ages. But when you go back and look at the data, and it's really clear that a lot of things that we're calling cerebral palsy, from birth trauma or from complications of obstetrics, really aren't. There probably is a genetic or a metabolic etiology to a lot of these movement problems. And one of the things we're trying to do with neuroimaging, neurometabolics, and genetics is figuring out exactly why it happened.
Right. So from a general practitioner standpoint, you know, Dr. Albers, it's not always easy to diagnose a movement disorder. You know, the textbooks define these disorders for us, what spasticity looks like, dystonia, but you know, it doesn't always work that way in the real world, and it can be quite difficult. What type of diagnosis or motion analysis do you do for your patients to really pinpoint a diagnosis?
Right. It's a really good question, and it's something I think that medical education needs to sort of revamp a little bit. We've sort of taken this traditional model of a child comes into a general practitioner's office, has a history of maybe a little complicated pregnancy. The child is doing some unusual movements. Either they're stiff or they're loose, and they're, in terms of what we do and what we do for their care, we start with a really careful neurological exam, of course, and try to distinguish what the movements are caused from a lower motor neuron phenomenon, from the spinal cord reflex, or if this is a tone issue, when in terms of their being able to support their head, being able to support their legs properly. And then, of course, from there, we often recommend neuroimaging and sometimes genetic testing. In terms of the general pediatrician or the general practitioner, the most important thing is just your basic milestone exam. So if a child really isn't sitting up at 6 months of age, it's really important to understand why. And if you really don't have a really good explanation, it may be time to talk to a neurologist.
So tell us, what do you mean by a unified approach to treatment? And maybe walk us through a typical patient visit.
Right. So a lot of families, when they have a child with a movement disorder, either a dystonia or a cerebral palsy or a chorea, are sort of referred to one of three people. The general practitioner doesn't really know where to go. So a lot of these kids are being sent to orthopedic doctors because orthopedic doctors do a lot of surgery for bony malformations. Some of them are sent to neurologists because they sometimes have seizures, learning problems. And some of them are sent to physiatrists, rehab doctors, for bracing and other types of physical therapy, occupational therapy. And what we found is that when families go to these three different types of practitioners, they get completely different stories on what the diagnosis is, what to do, and how to make a better outcome. And what we find is that early intervention is really the key with kids. If we can allow them to have more full movement, allow them to develop properly, and more importantly, consolidate their care more efficiently so that there's not a lot of crosstalk between the specialties, that we can make better outcomes. And that's really what we're dedicated to doing.
So when a child comes in and comes to see you at Children's Mercy, or so in one visit, the child and the family is going to see all the different specialists at one time, all together? Is that kind of how it works?
Absolutely. So I can sit down, when a patient comes into our clinic, we can sit down and we talk to the family, we do an examination, and I can have my orthopedic surgeon there say, well, you know, we really need to take a look at the hips, and we need to look at the way, or take some x-rays of the bones and take about that. And then the rehab doctor will say, well, you know, how is your wheelchair fitting? Or let's get some orthotics, or how's your physical therapy going? And the neurologist can say, well, you know, why did this happen? You know, why are we having these problems? Is it getting worse? Is it not getting better? How's he doing in school? What kind of learning problems is he having? What kind of nutrition problems is he having? And with any parent with a child with special needs, just allowing them, you know, getting into the car and making an appointment is a big task. And allowing them to have a whole consolidation of specialties all in the same room, and we can all converge and make sure that we're not contradicting each other, making sure that we're all in the same goal, allows us to make the best outcome.
What are some of the services and treatments that you offer at Children's Mercy?
So I think we're kind of unique in the sites, and it's one of the reasons I came to Children's Mercy, is we offer a wide array of therapies and interventions for children. Things that I'm very proud of myself is deep brain stimulation. We now know that this technology has been around for about 20 years for patients with Parkinson's disease, and over 130,000 patients have received this treatment for Parkinson's disease and other movement disorders. But we're just now seeing that children with other types of movement disorders like dystonia, either from a genetic or metabolic reasons or from cerebral palsy, may benefit from this therapy as well. The candidates have to be carefully screened if they're appropriate. That's one of the reasons we do this clinic, to make sure that we're making the right diagnosis and the right outcomes. But in addition, we can offer other therapies. The baclofen pump, for example, it allows an alternative means of providing medicine to children. It doesn't allow them to be so sedated by other medications that we do to reduce tone. Botulinum toxin injections allow us to do focal treatments without having to do a lot of soft tissue surgery immediately. Orthopedic surgery that is done early and at appropriate times with a proper nutrition and recovery and physical therapy. They're all offered in one spot with the same people with the same goal. And a lot of other places will have like a deep brain stimulation center, or they'll have a back pump program, or they'll have an orthopedic surgery program. But a lot of them are sort of, will go back and forth about when the surgeries are appropriate, when these interventions are appropriate, who gets the surgery, who doesn't get the surgery. And it's incredibly frustrating to parents and often delays effective treatment.
Right.
What we're hoping to do is making an accurate diagnosis and allow them, the parents, to have all the options available: deep brain stimulation, baclofen pumps, dorsal rhizotomy, orthopedic surgery, medication options, and that may be dependent on the child's metabolic or genetic profile. That allows us to give them the most options, and we can guide the family through that process.
How often, Dr. Albers, do you find that you often have to use a combination of therapies to help a child with movement disorder?
Almost always, and that's really almost always. So, a child would have a walk from a stiff leg. So one physician might try some botulinum toxin injections, and to sort of loosen the leg up and allow the child to walk. Those wear off. And when they wear off, you go right back to where you were. Well, if the child didn't have a proper physical therapy or bracing, then there was really no point doing the Botox injection. And if we keep on doing Botox injections over and over again, an orthopedic surgeon say, well, now, you know, it might be some time to do some soft tissue or some bony reconstruction, so we don't have to put the child through this to allow them to have best function. When to make those decisions and when to do them is very difficult to determine. And it often takes a multidisciplinary approach from multiple doctors to come to a consensus. And it's really hard when you don't have the thinking of another doctor right in front of you, because we don't train together. We think differently. It's our strength, and it's sometimes our weakness when we see these patients individually. What we're hoping to do is, by giving a family, show them that we really care about the kid, and we do, we're very committed to these kids, that we can make the best options, and the family can go through them and find which therapies in terms of surgeries, in terms of medications, in terms of bracing interventions is appropriate for their kid at that time.
Now, in this approach, this what we're calling a unified approach, what about when the child goes home or goes to school? Does Children's Mercy offer guidance to parents and teachers? Are they part of this whole process as well?
Absolutely. We really want to emphasize the importance of advocating for the patient. In terms of, our goal is to get a kid being as mobile and as independent as they possibly can. And that means succeeding in school, not only because of their physical constraints, but possibly because of cognition problems or other issues that would interfere with their learning, like writing, listening, reading, allowing them to get, appropriate services for cognitive and physical therapy and equipment needs in school is a whole part of the process. And when we can do that all together, we can advocate as a team. It also lets us, consolidate our other resources like neuropsychology, social work, and other people that can sort of help families guide it through the process, which can be difficult.
Dr. Albers, I want to thank you personally for the work that you're doing. It's incredibly important, and I know it's you guys at Children's Mercy are making some incredible strides in treating movement disorders, and thanks for coming on the show. You're listening to Transformational Pediatrics with Children's Mercy Kansas City. For more information, you can go to childrensmercy.org. That's childrensmercy.org. I'm Dr. Michael Smith. Have a great day.